visionary activist show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, nice segue from the previous show, theater, because our guest is a theater kind of guy. And also the public service announcement, if you are isolated and would like emotional support, then tap into the show. We want to reciprocal blessing each other. So I am just back from back-to-back dental appointments with my Scorpio forensic hygienist. She misses nothing. Nothing. Ack, ack, ack. And everything for us is all Saturn-Uranus. If we are Saturn internal, then we need fewer external restraints. She who hesitates gets bossed. So I have been perhaps a skosh lax in regard to my teeth, which is Saturn, and now to pay the piper. Woohoo! So everywhere is a Saturn-Uranus theme. We remember that astrology is a language in which so much guiding wisdom has been embedded. So what's called the rulers, really, an antique language of Aquarius community, are Saturn and Uranus. How much structure and boundaries and how much freedom, you know, and sometimes some voluntary, may it be, constraints are good for freedom for everybody. I go back to my dogs when I picked them up the first time and they'd never had a leash on and they were like, oh, no, and I go, no, it's a constraint that leads to greater freedom. There we go. And in conversation with my favorite conservative, he said, you know, what do you know about Edmund Burke? And I go, no, not very much, you know. And he said, well, this conversation about big government, small government is irrelevant. What Edmund Burke said is, the more we have Saturn training to be good citizens, the fewer outer rules we need. And I go, this is a worthy conversation. So here to help us weave, well, everything. We weave Saturn and Uranus and Anthony Fauci and ayahuasca and crackpot theories and calm measured response and forensic Scorpio. And because we got to know, we got to root out decay. I love that my Scorpio hygienist used to be a private investigator rooting out corporate corruption, and now she's a hygienist. It's the same skills. That's great. And sometimes we use antibiotics if we've gotten ourselves into extreme thing. So more than perfect. We are joined by longtime astro ally, Sun, Neptune, Scorpio, Hal Barr, that we may weave lessons from the AIDS epidemic to Corona with astro, mytho, political guiding meta-narrative. And Hal says, well, I've been an actor, director, choreographer, teacher, off-grid homesteader, AIDS survivor, addict counseling astrologer, creator of the Character Matrix, which is my reimagining of human design, supervisor of a drug and alcohol rehab program, and currently manager and administrator of a program for homeless, mentally ill men, conserved by the state of California, and court jester, fellow trickster. Welcome, Hal Barr.
Good afternoon, wise and wonderful friend.
Oh, well, that's, you're too kind. That's a wonderful thing. So, yes, so maybe I haven't seen you in person since New Orleans, the great
dental hygienist is a Sabian symbol in herself.
Yes, dentist drilling decayed teeth. Well, we're all in this dream together, right? So that's the Scorpionic. May we all be blessed with Scorpio dental hygienists. It's like, no, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. We got to know. I don't want to know. No, don't touch that. Oh, no. Okay, here we are addressing things. And right. And I think that's kind of a Scorpio thing, too, which is, you know, we're the advanced, conversational, compassionate Scorpio. We're going to talk about really intense and difficult things. It'll be fun. Let's go. All right. Right. So that's kind of you.
Absolutely.
And then just a little bit of New Orleans to set up your wonderful missive that went spiral. So we last saw each other in New Orleans, a city, the soul of the country, yes, befoibled, everything is beplagued and complex and everything, but really keeps the avenues open between, you know, incarnational actuality and magic lured into the world by pleasure. And also great tolerance. And we do want to cultivate tolerance and measured response. You're so good that way, Al. Because every now and then, well, we spell each other, right? So do you have before you the wonderful thing that you wrote and as our departure point?
I do.
Excellent.
A while ago, I had this insight. What humanity is being given is a course in Spirituality 101 masquerading as a health crisis. We are being asked to have healthy boundaries with others, practice a cleansing ritual that removes negative energy we may have taken on, and develop the awareness that what comes out of our mouths can be toxic to others. On a daily basis, I feel like I'm reliving the times decades ago while my friends, lovers, and myself were experiencing AIDS, which many people didn't believe in at that time either. Dr. Fauci told us then that closing the bathhouses, protecting ourselves and others, and limiting our exposure, limiting our exposure was the best we could do at the time. Many I knew called him a fascist who was trying to deprive us of our rights. My friends and I ignored the advice, kept our rights, and most of us died. Dr. Fauci must also be experiencing deja vu these days. If I could live my life over, I would take the simple steps that would have prevented a great deal of physical, mental, and emotional suffering, and I would not bear the burden of knowing that I infected others. Willingly, have that burden placed on even those I might despise. Today, we all have a gift, an opportunity, a choice to care for others, have consideration for others and ourselves, and to embrace growing, changing, and living together. Honestly, I hate change, but I love living, so my choice is a clear one.
And that hummed, right? That hummed a resonance. You got some grumpy responses, right? But most people were like, thank you, let's put this out. an invaluable contribution to public discourse in a sane, reverent manner. Because, yeah, it really is a Saturn-Uranus thing, too. And so when we were speaking backstage, I go, wow, it is amazing. You know, and I will speak in a, I will pretend to be a less measured person than yourself, just for fun. and it's also like Terry Pratchett's Wonderful Witch, Tiffany Aiken says, you know, there's our first thoughts, but then our second thoughts are good. So anyway, so in a less measured form, I go, I've been amazed at how many, you know, allies and quite wonderful people have sent me what I was game to watch, you know, but I'd have to say we're crackpot videos. The first a while back was a wonderful friend of mine, a great ally, animal medical intuitive, a really great person, and she sent me a video from New Zealand and said, "Uh-oh, fascism there, fascism coming to us soon," and it was just a man, a grumpy man, you know, filming, going, "You mean I can't come into this store without a mask? No, and yelling and spitting and everything, you know." And I said to my friend, I said, "You know, New Zealand is got a really great leader who's really inviting people to this experiment, and people are kind of mostly agreeing, and this is a kind of minimal guideline, you know, so it's not just, you know, we can have that reactive and that creatively suspicious part, and there's no conspiracy. I mean, there are many real conspiracy things that we do want to address, but there's no crackpot conspiracy realm that doesn't start with some nugget of truth, right? You know, Bill Gates may be up to some nefarious things, but he did not go to New Zealand and impose a brain implant microchip and anyway. So these standards, and so it's like, oh, okay. And my friend took that to heart, going, oh. And then when we see how New Zealand's done, it's pretty good. And then more and more, I was like, people going, no, and it's a corona's a hoax and it doesn't exist, or it's bacteria, or people died of stress or whatever. And I waded through a lot of these things, you know, and then go, oh, let me just check out this doctor that everybody's quoting, right? Which is how I came to the thing that I see on your Facebook too, a very long, very worthy, very 10 things a conspiracy theorist taught me about the novel coronavirus. It was very measured. It didn't prevent some people from going, nah, blah, 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 blah. But most people were like, oh, really useful, just a deep delving. So we want to encourage, tolerance and deep delving curiosity, right?
Well, you know, the thing that comes up for me these days is, it's probably something that you once said to me, because so many of the things that we have talked about over the years have just become part of the framework of the way I think about things. But these days, where I really go with things is, can I just stay present and practice engagement rather than enragement? And I loved that long article, because the writer, what she really did was engage with each piece in a very measured and patient way. And because I know for myself, and I just have to say, like, on a daily basis, so, you know, that thing that I posted on Facebook one afternoon, and within a day it had literally gone around the world, which was interesting. But you know, it's been a month since then, and still every day I hear things on the news. I also have many friends that are on the other side of this conversation, and the things that get said are, you know, you often will say, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. The Mark Twain, yeah. Mark Twain quote. Yeah. But it's like, but many, like, of the things that are getting said, they aren't rhymes, they're exact quotes from the early days of AIDS. And, you know, the conspiracy theories that it was an organism that had been invented in the lab and designed to, you know, wipe out an undesirable group, segment of society, or to... And that many of the remedies were actually ways of controlling us and registering us, and then ultimately, you know, shipping us off to an island somewhere. And that the simple steps. And again, it's even the same doctor. It's even Dr. Fauci saying exactly the same things, because he's a virologist, and these are the basic steps a person takes to protect themselves, right, and to protect others. But it's just, it's amazing. I thought in many ways, you know, my life has moved on, and in a lot of ways, I thought I had sort of left those days and that experience of mine, because I was terribly sick for a few years, and, you know, but it's all back. It's all back again. And I'm on a different side of the conversation, because back then I was one of those people that was saying, he's a fascist, and how dare you try and curtail the freedoms that I have, you know, they're my right, you know. And it's pretty amazing times for me these days.
I think that everything is so important, because when you bring up, you know, people think, oh, it's engineered and it's a conspiracy to control us. And it's like, well, there is evidence in history that feeds that, the Tuskegee, the experiments, the nefariousness, the Sidney Gottlieb, the chief poisoner of the CIA, but again, nuance and complexity. And, you know, and to honor the originating impulse, right, and to liberate, you know, may we all aspire and practice to be agents of liberation, and leaving room for all of us, leave room for others to behave in unexpectedly appropriate ways, not counting on it, but just leaving room, you know. And so everything is back. I mean, everything's back, and we're back in conversation. Everything's back.
I look at a lot of these things, and I say to myself, well, it may actually, that may be true. It all may be true. But as a human being on the human level, you know, I'm an addict in recovery. One of the things that I get to practice is the Serenity Prayer, which is basically, what are the things that I can do something about? And that's what I'm responsible for, right? And so while there may be vast conspiracies going on, back then, if I had just worn a rubber, my life would have been different, and the lives of people around me. There's an exact correlation, because, you know, what is one of the main things we're being asked to do, which is wear a mask, you know, put something over our mouths, because what might come out of our mouth could be potentially toxic to somebody else.
That is
such a wonderful demonstration of that on a whole other level.
Yes. And our wonderful board op says that we have an echo from you, and we can't really crosstalk because there's feedback, even though it sounds okay to us. So I think Kirsten is going to call you back. Is that fine with you?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Kirsten's going to call you back. So that is our wonderful ally, Hal, who may he be returned to us without echo. So that's great. But while we are awaiting his lively, scorpionic, insightful self to return, the article just a little bit, you know, that I watched this video that somebody had sent with a fair amount of aggressive condescension, going, there, now do you see the light? You know, there, the jig is up, it's all a trick. And it's like, well, I'll watch this, you know, okay. And then go, let me do more research here, and found this article, a long, worthy, dedicated, deep delving, that ends by saying, you know, after 5 days of reading, the author, of falling into alternating bouts of wonder, horror, and awe, Dr. Kaufman, that's the one of the doctors that was like, okay, seems less of a threat than he first appeared to be. For when all is said and done, there remains a little of the conspiracy theorist in us all. We can allow this part of ourselves its place without letting it stifle our critical faculties or crush our sense of humor. Our collective immune system can adjust to make room for the them, you know, who occasionally become we, as one or other of us, and I include myself here, tumbles down the rabbit hole and gets temporarily lost in the dark echo chambers of the conspiracy warren. Because Camus was right. It is human decency, as he wrote in his prophetic novel, The Plague, not fear, that will be what makes the difference in the end of how we come out of all of this. And in that spirit, while we do our best to tune out the background noise that fuzzes up our already frazzled brains, let's stick our head down the rabbit hole and give a call to our stranger and more fearful selves, going, ahoy, you okay down there? Right? So I like solicitous concern. You're back, Hal, right?
Well, actually, hello? This is my front, but yes, I am here again.
It's your what?
It was a poor pun, so let's just move on.
All right, we will move on. So in your brief absence, I was just reading the little extract from the article. Pretty good. I mean, a worthy contribution, the 10 things a conspiracy theorist taught me about the novel coronavirus, which is, rather than react, right, which is to be imprisoned, let us cultivate, you know, the response of curiosity. You know, the psilocybe mushroom benefit, you know, curiosity, confidence, and kindness, going, well, let's look at this more deeply. And you've been very good that way. And then just to honor, you know, there was the plague saying in the Middle Ages that you know, contagion spreads on the wings of fear, right? So absolutely, we don't want to fear monger, right? We want it to be calm. And then it also went in Barbara Tuchman's really great historic thing on A Distant Mirror on the 14th century plague. She says the saying and the common understanding was that as the plague ravaged and wiped out 30-60% from India to England, but none of the village idiots were contaminated. And I love Barbara Waters, a great astrologer, said, well, we're all safe here then. And I think it goes with, you know, contagion spreads on the wings of fear. So in that sense, we extract, right, go going calm, and keeping our immune systems great. That's good, you know. NAC apparently is a really good thing for not clotting and all. You know, anyway. So yes. And then just back from what you'd said too, there's also the POGO version of the Serenity Prayer, which I can't do it, but it's sort of the reverse. You know, God grant me the capacity to change impossible things. So just for the fun of it. But yes, you know the what you said and what you wrote, you know, is you changed your mind, and there's really nothing more fun, maybe some things as fun, but nothing more fun going, ooh, and this is very Uranus trickster, right? And we're all undergoing a kind of huge deconditioning transits going, and I've come to understand more. I used to express transits in a more kind of razzle-dazzle kind of way, and it's like, no, it is that, but it's also deep and ongoing forever, you know, and where we've been hoodwinked going, oh, because that's also the essence of it. Everybody wants to know where they've been snookered. And sometimes we get snookered by our desire to not be snookered, right? So there.
Well, right, and that's and there's that part of it that is, if I find a conspiracy theory that I resonate to, then I have information that others don't have, and that puts me back in control in some way. You know, again, in my life, I've just learned that humans, we often gravitate towards that illusion of being in control in some way, and trying to exert that when, you know, that is all quite illusory.
If we're detectives, forensic hygienists, in a sense, if we're tracking everything, you know, back, it's like, well, there is a primitive desire to be a knowledgeable, mythological elite, one of the 144 or 144,000, or, you know, it's when I was talking to Daryl Davis, a large, cool black blues musician who's for decades spent time talking to Ku Klux Klan people, and the titles, and he knew more about the Ku Klux Klan than they did, which is why they actually, some of them I told you, and on the radio we discussed this, you know, one of the guys who said, I've just been appointed the Exalted Cyclops, and I don't really know the duties, and my test is next week, and Daryl was like, let me tell you what you're supposed to do, right? So, but the Exalted Cyclops, and the Imperial Wizard, and the thing, and it's like, oh, they want to be part of a myth, it's a Dungeons and Dragons thing gone psycho. But each, but incredibly organized. I mean, the Dementors are incredibly organized because each position, Daryl would lay it out and go, you know, and if this is your title, then you're in charge of these four communities in it. And if you're this, then you're a regional overview director. And if you're this, you're that. It's like, oh my God. But the desire to be special, and maybe before us, you know, we go, everything can be imprisoning or liberating. I mean, so in that sense, we go right, wherever I was going to go with that, everything could be imprisoning or liberating, because we're doing so many changes now of symbols and language. I was just hearing on the radio that the real estate, huge real estate people are no longer going to call master bedrooms, master bedrooms. They go, that's feudal slave talk. And I go, all right, so there's no more master bedrooms. I think that's you know, charming. So there is that. So everything, you know, imprisoning or liberating. And so the desire to be special is imprisoning, you know, those of us who, all of us, may it be, you know, who hone our uniqueness. That's liberating, because that inspires everybody to hone their uniqueness. So, you know, we do have this cauldron, this Pluto cauldron, right? So I go, you know, as we go through the hour, and all of our dedicated participant listeners, you know, it's like, let's throw special into the cauldron, right? And ladle out unique. Is that in accord with your sensibility?
Yeah, well, and, you know, I love this reshaping or reimagining of symbols. And isn't that the degree that Chiron's in right now?
Yes.
Isn't it the man coming up with different meanings for old symbols.
Gives new expression to old symbols. And that happens to be when you were born, Halbar, where Eris, goddess of disruption, is. So you have, you know, Chiron is marrying your Eris, goddess of disruption, and the way in which you are disruptive is that. A person gives new expression to old symbols. Really great, really great. And so they're liberating. And so we check out everything, every story, every belief. And it's valuable. I mean, I've watched most of the videos, some good, some not, some in the middle, that people sent going, well, let me just, okay, explore, you know, and no, no, and what is that? No, that's terrible. Okay, right there. But it is a journey. I am concerned about the vituperative certainty of what seems a compelling illusion of so many, at least on Facebook, which is not necessarily so many, although whatever. And then just to bring some principles into play, you know, and always to remember, you know, the what has often been excluded until now, you know, the magical dynamic. And the what you're doing so well, which is the blessing, the unifying blessing, going, you know, whatever is really true, may it become evident before all of us, and have a great day. You know, whatever is truly needed now, you know, come on in, you know, and play with that, and then what is available as we journey, and we are fellow lovers of symbol and symbolic language like astrology, you know, and we go, all right, so what is. When people say, you know, what's going to happen, right? Even very rational people go, what's going to happen? It's like, you know, that's just not the question. It's completely what is available for us to play with. What is bowing down in front of us? I like my image of the divine is, you know, a dangerous in a good way coyote bowing down before us going, woof, woof, yip, yip, want to play? We go, yeah, yeah, we do. So, again, just for the fun of it, you know, comets, right? There's a comet. I haven't seen it, but today is the day when Comet Neowise is closest to the Earth. And, we go, and so I've been going, oh, Comet Neowise, if you're listening, you know, take the tyrannical ding battery, the demons possessing the Trump bar team and, you know, the Epstein Barr complications that are afflicting us all, you know, take them away for 3,600 years or 6,800, excuse me, I was shortchanging us. So there's that. And then, you know, if we want to, no, I know you have the chart of now before you as well, right?
Yes, I do.
Excellent. And then just for the fun of it, Uranus is stationing at 10 Taurus. That's where it was when George Carlin was born. George Carlin, all praise be upon him, you know, was born, he's having his Uranus return now, and even though he's dead, it's still humming, and we go, yes, what a good idea. You know, the embodied, liberating, trickster kind of quality, and we love that. And, you know, what you were saying also, engaging, great ally Susan Channon, who has been running the Tibetan Buddhist Ministry in San Quentin for so long, but they have a program called Guiding Rage into Power. It's a year-long thing for inmates. And we go, right, so we're all in that program, right? Guiding Rage into Power, you know, and cooking and composting. So if we want to play with the chart before us, which is for all of us, I did note to you, you know, backstage, that the Sabian symbol, I mean, these wash over us. They were just made up by humans, you know, Mark Edmund Jones and Elsie Wheeler. But, you know, the symbol for the sun has just entered Leo, is an epidemic of mumps becomes a holiday for the children. Infectiousness, getting under people's skin, feverishness, internal tensions. You know, we go, and, you know, our country, where we currently reside, although I know many are attempting to flee to Canada, you know, our country has become a pariah country. You know, Trump has built a wall around us, and we get to pay for it. But it is also, and again, let me pitch this to you. You know, it's a highly suggested introversion, and it's true in all cultures in the world. We are a particularly ill-educated and ill-citizened people. You know, with wonderful Deborah Felma spending time with the Bedouins in the Syrian desert, they knew more about American politics and appropriate strategy than most Americans. You know, and most cultures that I've gone to, you know, I do say, you must excuse us. We are American. We are a very young people. We know nothing about a lot. We know nothing about other people's history or culture. So, but what's going on now, we were remarking on this too, which is there is a remarkable rising up. Okay, the statues come down, right? And the rising up of really worthy conversation and worthy people, like the incredible piece, The Stone Ghosts in the South, done by Tremaine Lee, and, you know, history. And, you know, here's the antidote, you know, to our obliviousness, you know, of history and other people's suffering. And all of that, you know, it is rising up, and so maybe to embrace it. I mean, do you engage with your team and even the team who responded with herumphitude to your worthy post, encouraging what tolerance and calm? Is that how you think of the effect that you were spiraling forth?
Well, I think again, for me, it's about being present and kind and engaged, and but at the same time being absolutely clear and authentic. So that lets me, I don't have to invalidate you. And for me, what's happening these days, I haven't had to work on this, right? Because what is happening today is such a direct correlation to an earlier time in my life. And the friends, the very good friends that I find myself on the other side of the conversation from, or the other side of the circle, literally in meetings I've been to, where some of us are doing one thing and then others are doing, you know, something very different. And then I'm watching people on my side get really upset, and for me, I'm looking over at that other side, and I'm seeing a younger version of myself. It isn't separate from me. It's a part of me. It's a place that I've been. I've had friends of mine who have also engaged and then sort of said to me, This gets me too riled up or gets me too depressed. I'm out of the conversation. And for me, it's like, I feel particularly blessed at this moment because I have, I can embrace it all. So it lets me stay present. I mean, I certainly have my moments where I'm like, you know, you've got to be kidding, right? but for the most part, I really can stay in the conversation, and I keep seeing that as what is also what's really being asked of us. And, you know, the astrologer part of me looks at, you know, for me, again, one of the things I've been reflecting on lately, because we are in interesting astrological times too, is that, you know, a few years ago when we had the Uranus-Pluto square, one of the things I was writing at the time was that one of the things that was likely to happen was that it was going to be the failure of large-scale government to help the people, and that what it was going to boil down to was actually the smaller unit you get to, so the state, the city, the community, the city council, the individual. That is where the help really was going to come from.
Hold the thought because you've been so mesmerically fascinating that we blew past our mid-mark for our short break. But sure. Never mind that. We're going to have a very short, usual Taj Mahal, because it's so pertinent, break music. Our more than perfect guest for today is Astro Ally Sun Neptune Scorpio Hal Barr, that we may weave lessons from AIDS epidemic to coronavirus to Anthony Fauci to ayahuasca. We'll see if we get all those things. And we'll be right back after this very short break.
She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. showered his head with quasar and made his tortoise cry.
Oh, get down.
Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Ooh, chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Telegraph my indigo sky ship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, and our splendid guest is astro ally Sun Neptune Scorpio Halibar, that we may weave lessons from AIDS epidemic and how we've changed our minds about many things to corona with astro mytho political guiding meta narrative. There you were, right in the middle of such, when Uranus and Pluto. So you're taking that into the dissolution of old structures of mega government into intimacy village. You know, that's where I interrupted you.
Right. Well, and right, you know, well, look at like in what has come out. Some of the things that have come out after George Floyd is that the actual ability to change the police force and what it does, it really is best affected by the city council. It's not really the governor, it's not really the president, although they could help if they chose, but it's the community that can have the most effect on how they are policed. And so I find that interesting. And for me, you know, that the Uranus Pluto square was a while ago, but it was like the initiation, the ignition point. And then now we're at this point where, you know, we've got three of the other biggies all next to each other. Jupiter, Pluto, and Saturn, and they're all sitting directly across from Vesta. And, you know, she's waiting for the sailboat to come in. And I think wondering whether she's going to have to clean the sailboat once it shows up. But
well, yeah, and again, always honoring my friend Sylvia, who taught me everything I know about Vesta and asteroids, you know, that it's a little flame glyph. So she says, where Vesta is where we are divested of orthodoxy, denied, delayed the usual expression of that realm, while our dedication to keeping the community hearth flame alive is deepened. You know, and once we do that, and we're all kind of submitting our application, right? Then it's like that you may move on. Once you know your dedication to keeping the community hearth flame alive is deepened. And I think the opposition to the Capricorn, like the full moon of late, and this Cancer Capricorn dynamic before us all for worthy discourse is, you know, how shall our dedication to collective community well-being grow the structures of our governance, you know, rather than fitting them in or suppressing them? And we know it's dangerous. You know, the Trumpian troops, and the many of us saw the mayor of Portland getting tear gassed, right? He was there, and, you know, the worthy mayor of Chicago going, no, you know, don't bring these stormtroopers here. You know, so the mega overreach, and people ironically going, I guess the NRA forgot to, you know, protest against overreach of government. But these are important conversations. So the city council, the, you know, the mayor, the thing, I mean, all of it, and then the larger conversation that you were saying, you know, that everything's into the death rebirth cauldron, and what shall we ladle out, and you know, and well, may it be. I mean, I there's some wistfulness as gazing around the world, going, other countries, you know, Italy's got more bike lanes, for God's sake, you know, and other countries are actually coming up with green and redesigning, and it's like, no, Americans, we're wasting this opportunity, and also support for the citizenry, right? So if everybody had the economic wherewithal, may there be windfalls of wherewithal, you know, to not be fearful about money, to have this time introspection, Right. That's the, you know, and the support, and then there's the frontline workers who are in the hospitals, and oh my God, and the thing, and the, you know, but if it, it does reveal to all of us personally and collectively and country by country, you know, where we have let the fabric of support completely unravel, and how shall we weave it back together? We wonder. But let's bring in Neptune. I mean, you're born as a Sun Neptune conjunction person. Sun Neptune, Jupiter, Mercury. You are, and I'm Sun Neptune as well. Meaning we love. We are assigned to forever explore the power of imagery and symbols and symbolic languages, and a great affinity, you know, for the Neptunian Pisces realms. And there's your moon in Pisces, which I think where it's radical, like the 12th house, is Pisces, Neptune, 12th house represent everything a mainstream culture has suppressed, imprisoned, undervalued, dissed, but said to be where a culture's soul or its replenishing vision lives. So I've always liked this as speaking to all of us going, oh, humans, don't be distracted by celebrity hoo-ha. Look at what is of great value that has been undervalued. That's where the action is, you know. And in that realm, you know, the beautiful symbolic languages that are called to their most pragmatic offering now, like astrology. You know, as Rick Tarnas says, astrology was the gold standard of contempt. You know, anyway. So we love it. That which is most dissed often is most important and beautiful. And then it does tie in also to your work with alcohol rehab, homeless, mentally ill men. It is your ministry. All that is of value that has been undervalued, it's your ministry, right?
Well, it is, and I love you, and I love to hear you talk, because it's also the Libra that you bring to things, right? The respect for all the points on the wheel, but also the rebalancing of things. And again, I look at, you know, this current time and our culture and sort of who's, if you look across the world, who's doing better or worse with this. And I really look at, you know, our country is extremely yang, and it's being given a very yin opportunity. It's been told to please stop and contemplate, be with yourself for a while. And if you look across the world, you know, where are the places that are being better able to do that? And is it that much of a surprise that this country is having probably the most difficulty with this whole concept of stillness? Because that's one of the remedies. And it isn't what our forefathers set in motion. And so, of course, we keep arrowing forward, and that's, you know, the yang principle. We're going to arrow forward until we finally crash into a wall, and then perhaps we'll adjust the flight path. But it is, for me, it is about this whole rebalancing of what there is. So yeah, I continually find myself in places where I in the early part of my life, I was on the outside looking in, and I lived an outsider's life. And today it's very funny because, so I'm working with the people that are on the outside, but I'm right inside the center. Right. And so in my daily conversations, I'm talking with county government, in order to help the people that I work with. And it is, it's surreal sometimes to look at in my own life where things can move to when we're willing to keep moving with it, right?
Well, It's a great thing. I mean, to be empathic outsider with insider connections, you know, I think is maybe a quality we want to ladle out of the cauldron for those who feel who want to take two drops into their libation. You know, so because it's a cross-pollinating, and to take everything that crosses our path as an assignment to converse across borders, right? So rather than, no, bad, I will never speak to them. No, so conversing across borders seems an important, you know, assignment in that way. And that's why it's not, you know, not vituperative polarity, but actual conversing. May it be for all of us, you know, that, I want to come back to Neptune in a second here, but, you know, when you praise me for something rather Libran graciousness, and I go, yeah, but, you know, everybody's got their shade, you know, Libra, yes, yes, yes. And then as Jade Jacobs not only wonderfully said, a Scorpio, a Cancer is just a Scorpio and a house code, he also said a Libra is just an Aries that's been to charm school. So, you know, manners and sometimes, you know, ill-mannered, you know, I often quip that, it was so intense yesterday, I unfriended myself on Facebook. So not always polite, you know, but coming back to it again, and, you know, if we can have reciprocal tolerance. But what you were saying, too, it's like, but we do want to leave room. There's just a méchant, you know, for the spicy Scorpio repartee, not to diminish somebody's sense of themselves, right? But some things, you know, to artfully respond. And I think, you know, just as we say, you know, grief expressed artfully becomes a sacrament of kinship, this yearning, we will not forget you, the children in cages, we are with you, with just, you know, and in that way, I think the art of insult can be liberating if it's really crafted. Groucho Marx was pretty good, you know, I've had a wonderful evening, this wasn't it, but I've had a wonderful evening. At least one person leaves liberated, you know, and just the spicy rejoinder. So I just want to sort of leave some room for that, but as you guide, you know, may it be with the intention that it liberate the circumstance. We can go that far as an aspiration, right? Because you must have internal spicy rejoinders, and then you have second thoughts, and you artfully mediate them, right? Is that?
You know me. We know each other, so of course that is true.
I choose
my places. You know, I'm grateful to be 61 because.
Uh oh, I hope you're still 61.
Yeah. No. So at this point in my life, I have the ability to just not blurt out the very first thing. The conversation in my head from initial reaction, which is always extremely scorpionic, and often very entertaining and sometimes really only to be entertained by me. And then sort of letting that filter through in terms of, okay, well, so I can unleash that, and it will be effective, but what is the effect actually going to be? Am I trying to communicate an influence or am I, you know, do I just want to lay a bomb down that's going to stop the conversation. I really identify with the court jester. And so the court jester is the person who does say the spicy thing, but does it in a way that is funny, right? So I have managed not to get my head chopped off, in my life. Although, I think many times I probably have deserved it. And I get better at it. As I get older, and certainly, you know, in our times right now, there is so much to really spicily object to, and with my own friends, a lot of times when they're one of the things that will come up as they're talking, as they're putting forth their theory, is I'll just look at them and say, wow, I like
I didn't know you were you had a degree in medical science, or you know, sometimes they'll say, well, you know, there is that is a wonderful argument, and Darwin has his own theory about that. We'll see how it turns out.
Right, and remember the word soothsayer, you know, which means truthsayer, but it has everything to do with timing and motivation, you know, when and why. And so we're just, you know, filling our cauldron to ladle out, you know, second thoughts, just, you know, and because Yorna's trickster says to all of us, we are big coyotes dancing with you. We don't care what you do. We care the manner in which you do it, that it come from freedom and choice, and then, you know, it's probably going to fly. And that has to do with language. And just a bête noire, things that I would prefer to throw into the cauldron for myself, you know. But is, you know, when people say, well, my truth is such and such, I'm like, just say the thing. I want to throw the phrase my truth into the cauldron, going, it's too Trumpy. Just truth there. And then just the fun, you know, rather than, you know, speak truth to power, it's speak truth, be power. You know, and always the trickster, High John the Conqueror from the South, and Scheherazade, and the folk heroes, and Coyote, you know, they are interested in liberating the women and the men and the thing and the whole circumstance, and willing to liberate even the tyrant. Now, again, not counting on it, but willing. And I think for all of us, in a way, to liberate the entire circumstance. And, you know, since I have overpromised in my fun intro to us going, and we're going to cover, you know, Anthony Fauci and ayahuasca. We've done Anthony Fauci. God bless him, right? He's not a demon. I have friends who know him dearly. He's a dedicated person. And yes, befoibled and Big Pharma's evil. And okay, all of that. But I think we could throw vituperative into the cauldron for sure, and condescending, I think, which is again very, very tricky. We're all watching ourselves. It's like how to not be condescending about somebody being condescending about somebody being condescending. It's like, well, because condescending means we all go down together, and it's like, but somehow I'm going to toss it to you to connect these disparate things going, and now to you, Halbar, ayahuasca. No, and the sapphire quail. We can't leave the hour without the sapphire quail. And however you want to connect Anthony Fauci to ayahuasca and the sapphire quail, I'm tossing it to you like a badminton
boom. Okay. Okay, great. Well, I will try and dance with that song. And you know, so you and I got to catch up last night, which was really wonderful, and talk about our, you know, common journeys into the underworld, and in my own, you know, well, I've journeyed through the underworld a number of times, but you know, during that period of time when I had a full blown active AIDS, and the you know, before that happened, I had always said if I had ever gotten a fatal illness, I would not do all those big pharma things that would destroy my quality of life. I would just go. And then, of course, when it actually happened to me, I discovered I was actually willing to do really anything to stay alive. and so that what that became for me was incorporating all the things that could possibly help me. So yes, there was the chemotherapy, and I also did the research to find that there was, you know, the active ingredient in garlic, allicin, was being used in China to heal some of the illnesses that I was having. So I was having that injected into my bag of chemo along with. And so it was like, I was willing to incorporate all of it. In more recent times, or really this is, gosh, it's almost 10 years ago now, I I'm one of these. I've always been sought for more information. Ayahuasca was always one of those things where I would ask myself, well, is that the journey? You know, is that a journey for me? And I ended up in Ecuador in the rainforest and met the plant itself. And in meeting the plant, what I found out was that I didn't actually need to. I didn't need to bring the plant inside of me to meet it. And that particular trip to Ecuador was a spiritual awakening in a way, because I had this experience where we were on a trail being guided through the jungle, and this bird came out of the jungle and came up to me. And it turned out it was a sapphire quail dove, which I guess is the Ecuadorian equivalent of sighting a unicorn. And it came up out of the jungle and it kept following us. And so at a certain point I stopped and it came up to me and I reached down and it let me, like, I petted her head. And once I did that, she then did this whole dance where with her beak, she was spreading whatever scent I had on, which was citronella, because I was using a natural thing to keep bugs off. And she put it all over her body, and then she kept following us. And I stopped again, and again she came right up to me, and then she did the most amazing shivery dance, which then resulted in her turning around, putting her head down and raising her hindquarters up to me. And I was like, she was doing a mating dance. And what came out of it for me was that she was like the ambassador of the rainforest, because right at that period of time, Ecuador was considering the greatest oil reserve was directly under the untouched part of the rainforest. And what was in that rainforest, the plants that still hadn't been discovered, were the biodiversity there, were all sorts of cures for all of humans, many of humans' ills.
We're going to have to close now. Again, we only got to a tenth of what we let us continue, Halbar. But yes, talking to plants, talking, everything speaking to us, and that's the larger thing, you know, about everything coming at us, like, well, what good can we contribute? And would you join me in toasting all beings, Hal, and to our wonderful board op, Kirsten Thomas, and to KPFA, and, you know, to the wise, discerning autonomy of everybody. There you go, and talk to everything that the sapphire quail may form an alliance. May we form an alliance with what we love. Anyway, thank you so much, Hal, and let us keep conversing.
The conversation never ends.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you so much, team. Again, you can coyotenetworknews.com is where you can find me, and we will continue next week. Oh, yeah, yeah.